Welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. I'm Dennis Wu, and today I'm not sitting in with the band. As a matter of fact, one of the members of the band joins us to talk about something rather important for all of El Paso. Luis Sainz joins us, and we'll pick up his conversation right here.
And joining us now is Megan Robinson, and Megan is a nurse, and she is also a lactation consultant. She does work with the Binational Breastfeeding Coalition, and we're talking about a big event that's going to be taking place today, and it's called the Big Latch On. Megan, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, first of all, let's talk a little bit about the Binational Breastfeeding Coalition. Is that been around for a long time? Or
Actually, it hasn't, but we're growing by leaps and bounds. And we were enacted or incorporated just a little more than about a year and a half ago, so February 2012. We're a nonprofit organization, and we're just a group of health professionals, and we care about breastfeeding and the health of our community. And so we're just promoting and supporting women and getting the resources out and information out to women and other health professionals in the community.
There have been, you know, controversies about nursing, about breastfeeding. And we all know that going back to, you know, throughout history, I mean, that's the natural way to go. And, of course, there have been wet nurses available. However, there are some concerns because some people will say, well, nursing is bad for you because it'll give the child something. And some people say, well, also there's you're at risk of getting breast cancer, et cetera, et cetera. You're a nurse, and you have also nursed your children, and I'm sure that you did a lot of research before you started doing this. So you want to talk about it?
Absolutely. There's a lot of myths about breastfeeding, especially here on the border. I'm not originally from this area, so it's interesting when I came here to have found out the different things that people think. There's a myth, but in some cultures, for example, that the first milk, the colostrum, that it's bad for babies, and it's absolutely not. It's like liquid gold. It's really concentrated, full of antibodies and immunities. Also, women who breastfeed, for each month of their life that they breastfeed, their risk of breast cancer decreases. So, for example, you said your wife had you have three children and she breastfed all of them. So her risk of breast cancer is significantly reduced compared to a woman who never breastfed, because throughout her life she breastfed many more months than someone who didn't. So a lot of people don't realize all of the benefits. There's really not very many cons to breastfeeding. People, you know, some people will say to me, you know, well, how is it going to affect my breast? You know, am I going to look different? Or, you know, and so I tell them, no matter what, gravity is going to affect everybody eventually. So really, it's about the health of babies. Babies who are breastfed, they have less gastrointestinal illnesses. They have less respiratory illnesses. They have less ear infections. Their weight over their lifetime, they're less likely to have obesity and diabetes, and that's a huge health concern today. So, and also for women, they're less likely to develop diabetes later in life. So,
what about as far, you know, you were talking about myths, and sometimes some of those myths include the fact that you know, the child may reject you if you're not able to produce milk at first. And because the first few months and the first few weeks, and actually just nursing is hard, period.
Yeah, you know, the first couple of days are really labor intensive. The first few weeks are, and then it does get a lot easier. But in the beginning, it is more work than bottle feeding. The most important thing is just putting mom and baby together a lot and just encouraging them and supporting them.
As a lactation consultant, and I know La Leche League is also – is it still around,
La Leche League? La Leche League is around. I'm not a member or a part of La Leche League, so I can't necessarily tell you what their philosophy is. But they will be at our event. There will be they will have a table at our event on Saturday.
But they're part of encouraging people, right?
They are, okay. Yeah, absolutely. They are an organization that supports and encourages women to breastfeed.
You as a lactation consultant, I'm sure that you've had perhaps even yourself when you were nursing, that you feel like giving up. You feel like just throwing in the towel, and especially if the baby doesn't latch on properly or is not cooperating, it's frustrating, as you mentioned. So is that what you do as a lactation consultant and perhaps other people to encourage? Because it's not just the mother. The father needs to understand, the other family members, because it's very easy to just say, just go to formula.
Yeah, I think that's one really big obstacle is family members, especially mothers. Mothers and other women in a woman's life. If a woman has other people in her life who are really supportive of breastfeeding, then she's much more likely to be successful with it because they're not going to jump in and say, I think your baby's hungry. Just feed him a bottle. So a woman is much more likely to be successful with breastfeeding if she has a close friend or a sister or mother who has breastfed, who's had experience with it, who she can look to for guidance. And also her significant other, her husband or boyfriend, if he's supportive of it, she's so much more likely to continue. And really, so that's what our whole goal is with this, is to just promote awareness, to help women and other health professionals understand how important this is for the health of children and of our community.
What about, as we mentioned about, talked about problems, the fact that sometimes you may have engorgement or plugged ducts, and that, from what I understand, can be very painful as well.
Yeah, you know, I think that one of the big things, like I said, is having support from family, but also at getting help. You know, sometimes I hear from women that they struggled and they struggled for weeks and with different things like engorgement or soreness, and they didn't seek help. And sometimes women don't realize that there's a lot of resources out there for them. So, you know, there's the Baby Cafe, which there's several baby cafes here in El Paso. It's a free drop-in like type clinic where you meet other mothers that are also breastfeeding, but there's also a lactation consultant that works there who can help you solve these problems. And so a lot of women struggle and don't realize that there's help out there.
Megan mentioned earlier that the Leche League and some other people are going to be at this event on Saturday, and it's called the Big Latch On. And you mentioned it briefly at the beginning, but tell us a little bit about what – obviously, it's meant to promote nursing and breastfeeding, but what can people get out of it?
Well, the Big Latch On actually started in New Zealand in 2005, and it was meant to bring awareness to women actually breastfeeding in public, because in a lot of places, women are made to feel bad or not welcomed. People in our own community, often sometimes women are told they have to leave maybe a restaurant or a business if they're breastfeeding, or they're asked maybe to go to a bathroom and feed their baby, which really isn't appropriate. And that's actually a federal law that women can breastfeed in any public location. So anyways, it started in 2005, and every year there's been more people who have done it. It's an international event, and so in every location. So we're doing it here in El Paso. Van Horn is doing it. So in every location around the world, we're all doing it at the same minute. So everyone's latching their babies at the same minute to break a world record. So last year it was 8,000. The year before it was 5,000. So We're just increasing numbers, and people are becoming more aware that this is okay. Our culture here is very different from other places. In other countries, it's so normal to go anywhere and a woman just breastfeeds her baby, and there's no stigma associated with it. So most of the time when women are breastfeeding in public, you don't see anything. There's no breasts that are exposed. The only way you usually know that a woman's breastfeeding sometimes is that you hear a baby swallowing. So I myself experienced that with one of my children. I think I was sitting in a mall somewhere, and somebody sat down next to me and didn't realize I was feeding my baby, and then heard the baby gulping, and she looked at me shocked, kind of. And she said, "Don't you think you should go to the bathroom and feed your baby?" And I said, "Of course not. You wouldn't eat your lunch in the bathroom." So, you know, it's appropriate that and acceptable that women should be encouraged to feed their babies wherever they are, and that it just becomes normal. breastfeeding is not a sexual thing, and the women are given breasts for a reason. They are given breasts to feed their babies, not necessarily for men. So that's what the whole point of this is, just to make this a culturally acceptable norm.
And is it going to be at the same time at all over the world?
At 10:30 our time, we'll be latching babies. In Boston, it'll be 2 hours, at their time. It'll be the same minute.
So 2 hours later, a different time, depending on your time zone.
Yeah, depending on your time zone. So.
And this is going to be at Bassett Center?
Yes. And registration starts at 9 o'clock. We really encourage women to come as early as possible. The actual latching starts at 10:30, but if you show up at 10:30, there's not going to be time to register you and then have you included as part of the numbers.
Megan, you mentioned that it's kind of difficult here because of our culture, but at the same time, we kind of have the best of two worlds, I guess, because of some women who live in Mexico, just across the border, can't afford to buy formula, can't afford to buy milk. So nursing is what they've been taught and they know. And if that's the way, like you said, you have a supportive mother and they teach that to their daughters, et cetera, they continue. But then comes the point where careers get in the way. And so people will say, well, I can't do it because I work or –
Working
like
and
that.
Breastfeeding is hard. There's no way around it. It is hard. And getting in touch with a local lactation consultant and getting advice on different things you can do, tips you can get on how to maintain your optimal milk supply while you're away from your baby is helpful. And sometimes women who return to work, they're not able to make as much. But whatever they can give their baby is great. We really encourage women to not just stop. Whatever they, any amount of breast milk for a baby is fantastic. It's still going to help their health, their lifelong health. Women here in our country, we go back to work a lot sooner than other areas of the world. The result is that we don't typically breastfeed as long. The longer a woman is able to stay home with her baby, the longer she tends to breastfeed. So it is a little harder, but it's doable.
However, there are some women who use a pump and then they freeze the milk. If they do that, how long can they do that? How long does the milk stay fresh in the freezer? Or can
some
you
women
that?
Have a hard time maintaining their milk with a pump. It's not a baby, so it's not quite as effective. But some women are able to pump exclusively for a very long time. So as long as they're able to, great. It's just a lot of work. It's a lot of work to pump and then feed your baby what you've pumped and work also. And so, but a lot of women do it and they do a great job at it. And it is a federal law that employers if they employ more than 50 people, they're supposed to have a clean, hygienic space that's private and is not a bathroom for women to pump as often as they feel the need to. And that's a fairly recent law that has come about. So we're also trying to really promote that and get the word out about that. And I believe UTEP is working on that.
And as far as after you pump, do you freeze the milk immediately or what do you do?
It depends. If you plan on feeding the baby right away in a couple hours, you don't have to do anything. It could be at room temperature for a few hours. We usually encourage women. There's a really wide range of what you'll see in the literature on how long it can be refrigerated or frozen. And since I am a nurse, I'm kind of conservative with that. I deal with sometimes with a lot of babies that are preemies. And so I usually say the rule of four. So it's fresh on the counter for 4 hours. You can have it in the fridge four days, fresh in the back of the refrigerator, 4 months in the freezer. And make sure it's always in the back, not in the door, because the door is warmer. But you'll see things written other places and the times are much longer. So there's really not a great standard that's out right now. But that's usually what hospitals will go by.
As far as nursing, the talking about, you know, careers and how long should one nurse. If you remember, there was a controversial cover on Time magazine not too long ago. And so people wonder, well, you know, how long should someone nurse a baby? And then someone says, well, it says baby. So a kid who's 11 years old or 10 years old or 2 years old or whatever. So what is the rule of thumb? And I guess it varies around the world, too.
I'll tell you what the American Academy of Pediatrics says. The American Academy of Pediatrics has a statement, a policy statement that says that they encourage women to exclusively breastfeed for 6 months. At 6 months, start offering complementary foods. So that's when they start having, you know, fruits and cereal and things like that. But continue breastfeeding. I think there's some confusion women have. They think, oh, okay, well, I'm going to stop at 6 months. But it's really starting complementary foods at 6 months and continue breastfeeding through the first year of life. And then the rest of that statement is, and then as long as the mother and baby want to.
After they finish nursing, when does the woman stop producing milk?
Some women, it's a long time. I've actually had women tell me that a year or more later that they still have milk. And I've actually heard of occasionally of women re-lactating later, in life that they were able to for an adopted baby or other things like that where they actually weren't pregnant but they were able to re-lactate.
And the children themselves, I guess the question pops up, what if it's a problem anyway, it's with one, if you have twins or even triplets?
Women, many women are able to exclusively breastfeed twins. It is definitely doable. And it's something I'd say to a lot of new moms, sometimes they'll have a big baby. We'll see a 9-pound baby or a 10-pound baby. And health professionals sometimes will tell that mom, oh, the baby's too big. You won't have enough milk. And my comment to them is women exclusively breastfeed two babies. So you can certainly exclusively breastfeed one big baby. I have worked with moms that have had triplets. And they have been able to make enough milk for all three of those babies. In the beginning, I didn't see them after their babies left the hospital. They did make a lot of milk, but we really worked on it. We made a plan. We were very focused on how to help her make an adequate milk supply. And it's a lot of work, though. Years ago, they used to have a nanny or a maid that would nurse the babies because, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, it might have not been socially acceptable for someone of a higher status to breastfeed. So she would have someone who worked for her breastfeed her babies. We don't do that anymore. Nowadays, and even as recently as, the 70s, early 80s, women often would breastfeed their sister's babies if their sister went to work or so that's that idea. It's not really accepted now with the different illnesses that we have around now. Health professionals really discourage women from giving their milk to anyone else or breastfeeding anyone else's babies because of, different diseases that could be transmitted in milk.
As you mentioned, the big latch on is an event, of course, to promote nursing and to keep you going. But for some women, for health reasons or something else, they can't continue. Is it difficult to switch over? Does the baby go through some traumatic experience or anything like that as far as changing?
I think there's a lot of issues with that specific topic. Some women choose not to breastfeed, and that's okay. And I think that, there's a little bit of controversy among, the breastfeeding community, mothers who breastfeed and those that don't breastfeed. And I think it's really important for me and for other lactation professionals that we just want women to do what they want to do. We want them to feel good about being a mother. And, motherhood is one long guilt trip. And so we don't want women to feel guilty about how they feed their baby ever. So if I come in contact with a mother who says, I just don't want to breastfeed, I make sure that she understands the difference and that, you know, this is the best thing for her baby. But I also tell her that's okay. And your breasts are going to get engorged. Your milk is going to come in. And this is what you're going to do. And this is how you're going to take care of it. And so I think that's one really important thing. When a mother does decide to stop breastfeeding, if she's been breastfeeding and say maybe she wants to go to work, I don't think it's necessarily traumatic. I do think it's important to continue having a lot of contact with the baby when we're feeding. So if she stops breastfeeding and she goes to a bottle, a lot of times babies that are bottle fed, they're fed a bottle in 5 minutes and then they're put down. And babies should be held for a full 30 minutes for every feeding, because feeding isn't just about nutrition. It's also a very social interaction and stimulating. And yeah, and so they need to be held and snuggled for a good 30 minutes every feeding, except in the middle of the night.
It's almost, I guess, if we all sat down to eat and say, okay, you're finished, get out of here.
Exactly.
We're not going to talk today.
So it's just really, and all babies should be held while they're fed. Sometimes women will say, well, okay, I'm pumping my milk and I'm putting in a bottle and feeding the baby. That is still wonderful, but babies still need to be held and cuddled for the whole feeding. And we should never be propping bottles, and babies shouldn't be laying in their beds with a bottle.
And Megan, what about, and I'm sure it may be different for everybody, and of course now we have different, like you said, the Academy of Pediatrics, we have different groups regulating and making different rules that didn't exist before, and all of a sudden they do happen. But as far as nursing, and you mentioned earlier that the mother or someone might say, the baby's hungry, why don't you give her a bottle, or why don't you feed her, et cetera. What is the rule of thumb, or is there? Is it every 2 hours?
There is not a real rule of thumb. It's whenever the baby wants to eat, especially in the beginning. In the very beginning, sometimes babies want to eat all the time in the first few days. And a lot of times, if moms don't know yet that that's really normal, they think they're doing something wrong. They think they don't have enough. And so that's where that confidence comes into place. If they know, okay, this is how it is, it's really hard in the first few days. Sometimes babies want to eat every hour for 3 or 4 hours in a row, and it's always in the middle of the night. It does get better after the first few days, but the important thing is to know that sometimes they want to eat every hour. Sometimes they go 3 or 4 hours. It's whenever and as much as they want. Sometimes they eat for 5 minutes, and sometimes they eat for an hour in the first couple of days. So it's just being really patient with yourself.
I've heard, too, that sometimes babies will kind of, I guess, want to play with mom. And so they eat, and then they just want to play, and mom wants to go to sleep. And that's just – that obviously the baby's not hungry.
Yeah. Sometimes in the beginning, the first couple days, any amount of stimulation is going to help her make a lot of milk. And so sometimes moms will say, I think the baby's just using me as a pacifier. And so they want to limit the amount of time the baby spends at the breast. And so usually what I tell them is, I know it's really hard right now, but you're going to be grateful later on. All this stimulation is going to help you to make a really, really adequate milk supply. So we always want her to feel like she's got enough milk to feed 3 babies. And the way to make that happen is just to let that baby be at her breast constantly, or as much as they can both handle in the first few days.
Now, we talked a little bit about relatives earlier, and let's talk a little bit about the husband, the father, whoever. What kind of support can they lend to the mother? Because obviously they can't nurse unless they're, you know, using the pumped milk.
That's a really good question. I meet a lot of fathers who really, they want to do something, and sometimes they feel kind of left out, I think. And my own personal experience, when my children's father, when we had our children, my youngest child is 9, so it's been a while. But what I found really helpful is I would stay in bed, and he would get up, he would get the baby, he would change the diaper and bring me the baby. And then he was always worried that I was going to fall asleep holding the baby. So he would kind of be watching, you know, to make sure I was okay. And then he would change the baby again and put the baby back to bed. And so that was really helpful, because I'm the one who actually has to do that part of feeding him. But I didn't actually have to get up, and that was really nice. And then also helping me to be able to get naps during the day, that was really helpful. So I think in the beginning, it's hard for dads. It seems like they're having to do kind of a lot of the dirty work of changing the diapers and all of that. But also, another thing that dads can do that we really encourage is skin to skin. It's also called kangaroo care. And it started in the NICU with preemie babies. And now we know that it's good for all babies. And it's where we put the baby on anybody's skin and they... just a diaper and a blanket on dad's skin or on mom's skin, and it's really comforting. So if you have a baby that's a little bit fussy but isn't really hungry, just snuggling on somebody's skin is really comforting. And so we encourage dads to do that a lot. So if mom's in the shower, if she's taking a nap, it might give her a another 10 minutes of peace and quiet. And we actually, this kangaroo care, it's amazing. They've done studies on babies in the NICU, and babies the father had done kangaroo care, 6 months after discharge from the hospital, those fathers were talking more to their babies than the fathers who did not do kangaroo care. So it's really significant a bonding that happens when they do that.
Megan, obviously, as you mentioned, that there are cafes for nursing and other events and other information if people want to find out. Obviously, they can just go to Google or anywhere else and just type in that information, and I'm sure they'll get a bunch of links.
Yeah, absolutely. El Paso Baby Cafe. In our country here, the first baby cafe in the U.S. was in Boston. The second one was actually here in El Paso. So Elizabeth Berkeley runs that baby cafe, and so she kind of has... We got on the map for that, and that baby cafe is downtown. It's in the Texas Tech School of Nursing, and she's open 4 days a week, Mondays and Wednesdays in the morning from 8:30 to 11, I think, and Tuesdays and Thursdays from 1:30 to 3:30. And women just stop in and bring other if they. I think sometimes women think, oh, I have another child. It'll be hard, but there's other children are welcome there. There's usually toddlers there that are playing with other toys, and women usually learn a lot from other women. So that's one reason why the baby cafe is so effective. There's also a baby cafe in Fox Plaza, and there's a baby cafe on the east side in across from Hanks High School. So there's a lot of resources there. So yes, definitely. And then the Binational Breastfeeding Coalition, we have a Facebook page. Just look for Binational Breastfeeding Coalition. And we're always posting different things on there, things that you can look for support and resources. And then we do have a website. It's called borderbreastfeeding.com.
Megan, thank you very much for being with us here today. Again, that website is borderbreastfeeding.com. And Megan Robinson has been with us. She is with the Binational Breastfeeding Coalition. And unfortunately, as you know, this show is taped. And so the big latch-on took place at 10:30 this morning. So you might have heard some of the announcements earlier in the week on the radio about that. But if you need additional information about what Megan was talking about, go to any one of these websites. Megan, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you for having me.
El Paso Primetime is a production of KTEP. All rights reserved. Stick around. Louis Sines returns with his own show, Perspectives, right around the corner. Have a great weekend.